Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It is Thought Leader Thursday here on The Opening Bell. Doug Myers is here today from Associated Bank. Doug is the SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Nice to see you. Summer treating you well?
Absolutely.
Let's start with a discussion, and I know we've talked a lot about technology and how it's impacting your world time and time again, but there's a new report suggesting that the wealth management folks, the people who have the face-to-face relationships, need to start offering a little bit of automation, a little bit of, I think it's called self-directed planning. Is this happening in your direct view in your world these days, and how big is it?
Well, I think it's gaining traction in the marketplace, Steve. I think when you look at our client base, we are all about adding value to our clients' relationship in terms of financial planning, in terms of wealth planning, tax and estate planning, investment planning. And I think when you look at our clientele in the wealth segment, it doesn't really work well, or that platform doesn't make sense. If you take a well-known company like Fidelity or Charles Schwab, for example, they are looking at the mass affluent, which is kind of a term meaning the up-and-comers in the wealth market. I think that platform might have a lot of credibility. I think that if they, and these companies have enough heft and they can spend enough money on technology, or they can develop some technological advances on financial planning, for example, or wealth planning, as you mentioned. I don't think that's our space. I think we look at it as a bank that we're going to add value with individual relationships, with a one-on-one personal relationship. We can talk about the goal-based financial planning as things zig and zag in your life. You know, the automation doesn't quite make sense, where if you have the personal relationship and if you're in daily contact or weekly or monthly contact with your banker, investment planner, financial planner, I think you can adapt to changes a little better and more customization than what you're referring to.
This report that I'm talking about sort of exactly says that it's always, there's always going to be an advisor involved, but this is a way to sort of offer, you know, an enhancement or offer something in addition to that one-on-one relationship where, you know, maybe I can click in on a computer and check on things or make some small changes. Is there any value at all to that?
I think there could be. And I think what these companies, and I mentioned Fidelity and Schwab just because they're big common household names, and very good companies, I might add. But what they're trying to do is, let's say you have accounts aggregated everywhere, they're going to give you an aggregation of all your statements and say, hey, maybe you've got some duplication, maybe you're holding too much cash, maybe the automated program will say maybe you should be more in equities. And that's just one example of the automation that they're trying to develop for clientele.
Is there a cost involved here? Is that is what's driving this, perhaps on the one side, where you have new investors entering the world that, you know, perhaps don't make a lot of money, don't have a lot to spend on a one-on-one relationship? Is that part of this too, is how much I want to spend on wealth management?
I think so. And anytime technology and automation comes into play, I think the long-term benefits are cost savings. And I think if you're going to market to the mass affluent, for example, that we mentioned, I think that these financial companies are going to save money by having the automated platform. Yes, I think cost is a big part of it.
But I bet you would say that you might save money up front, but it could end up costing you later down the road if there's some sort of automated mistake.
Could be. Yeah. And I think there's a place for this. I don't think everybody needs a one-on-one investment expert or a financial planner. If your situation is such that you're fairly simple, this might work for you. And I think there could be benefits for the right person for an automated platform like we're talking about.
One of the big things when we talk about technology these days is protection of privacy and data. And a lot of folks have been talking lately about Facebook wanting to use some of our private banking and financial data for a project that they're working on. Facebook has not had a good score lately with the public. What's going on here? Are banks going to start working together with Facebook?
Well, I don't see that happening, quite honestly, and especially given the fact that the Cambridge Analytica scandal has been in the headlines most recently with Facebook, for example. But I think Facebook and companies like Google and Amazon, PayPal, you might lump into this group, high-tech companies, they want to get into the financial sector somehow. They want to, you know, own a portion of your wallet, so to speak, like everybody else. And I think as they want to gain market share, and it seems like these tech companies want to continue to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we look at Amazon, we look at Facebook, we look at Google. You know, they've become Big Brother, as an example. And I think, you know, banks have a true fiduciary responsibility to protect your client, to protect our clients, to protect your assets. Facebook, for example, to follow your direction, doesn't have that fiduciary responsibility. And as we've seen lately, the Cambridge Analytica scandal turned Facebook into a poster child for tech privacy abuses. And there was congressional hearings. There's mounting concerns over their business model and practices. And I think if you introduce your personal data and your personal banking into this, it could be a real disaster.
What Facebook has proposed is the data sharing partnership with banks and credit card companies. And I think what they're trying to do is use, like, for instance, Facebook Messenger to connect users with their bank's customer service agents to check their personal account information, that sort of thing. But so far, no U.S. financial institution has agreed to partner with Facebook.
Correct.
What do you think that says about all that?
Well, I think that's not surprising because, as I said earlier, that banks do have a fiduciary responsibility to protect our data and to protect our clients' information. I don't think Facebook, for example, has shown that. Banks are currently spending hundreds of millions of dollars on their own technology platforms. And we spend a lot. We can't spend that much. But if you look at the biggest banks in the country, they are spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year on technology. And we are spending time and money on developing instant messaging for our internal customer service. And as we roll out mobile platforms, as we roll out different ways of our clients to use our banking product, there's different ways to access, different access points to use your banking. And I think that is where the banks are going to go, not to partner with Facebook, but to do it internally.
I can't imagine being on Facebook and having the need to check in it with my bank to talk about my money while I'm sharing photos with my family or friends. I don't understand what they're trying to do here, and it just raises even more concerns about, do you want that information zipping back and forth while all that's going on Facebook?
Well, personally, I don't. I think most people don't. And in fact, I was looking at a recent research firm that said in the UK, now this isn't a United States study, but I would venture to say it might be a little higher in the United States. They find that 73% of consumers are reluctant to share personal data with retailers, and a whopping 93% worry about sharing their data with social media firms. Yeah. And I think as we continue to learn about some of these things that the high-tech companies are doing with our data and our privacy, that it even puts more emphasis on the banks to protect the data, as I said. And I think more and more people are against this idea, as evidenced by the survey.
Yeah, because some of the fintechs do have some pretty good ideas. These are kind of revolutionary ideas in some cases.
They are, and the banking sector has got to catch up. You know, we're technology plays a big part, and I think it's fair to say that banks have somewhat been behind the curve in technology over the years, and I think we have caught up to some extent. But I think it's always changing, it's always evolving, and you have to keep developing and spending money. The hackers are always two steps ahead of you. And as you mentioned, when you sign on to your banking accounts, you know, we've gotten more and more sophisticated in protecting how you do interact with the bank. on a technology basis.
Yeah, and on a flip side, too, it's not just you need to catch up with them. Perhaps some regulation needs to be put on the fintechs as well.
And that's happening as we speak as well.
Doug, let's talk about, and sort of this is along the same lines. I saw this article about something called open banking that's being developed by some other countries, being developed in some other countries. What is open banking?
Well, open banking is the I would say, the definition of banks entering into partnerships with technology companies or working with technology companies in offering solutions, banking solutions to clients. Europe has been more ahead of the open banking concept than this country. This country has been very hesitant in, once again, going to the whole discussion of wanting to partner with outside firms and outside technology companies. And I don't see banks in the domestic, in the U.S., really opening their platforms up to really partner with some of these firms.
Right, and I know you've kind of mentioned this when we talked about Facebook too, but I wanted to mention this example in Hong Kong, where the government there is actually setting out a timeline for these institutions there to become more open and work with some of these fintechs and other things. Is that part of it too? Is it going to be led, do you think, directed by the government at some point? Or
I don't think it's going to be an issue in this country. What's going on in Hong Kong and some of the European countries, I think they're exploring these ideas. Whether that bears out to be successful or not, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, because in Europe, they're a little bit more strict about it, as you mentioned, in some of the London rules in London.
Correct. And, you know, things are changing. You know, for example, LIBOR, which has been an interest rate index that we've used for a long, long time, is going away in the next couple years. London Interbank Offering Rate, which is an index for interest rates. And so there's a lot of evolution and a lot of changes going on. That's one example of one of the changes in the European banking world that's going to be different.
Doug, I can't speak for everybody else, but I enjoy our face-to-face.
Thank you so much, Steve. I do too.
We'll see you again next time.
Appreciate that.
And Doug Myers is the SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. You can hear them every Thursday right here in the Opening Bell, and you can hear our past conversations as well at WGNRadio.com. You can hear more of those conversations and meet the thought leaders at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership.